Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench. Everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
The following is a sponsored program on WBT.
Investment advice provided on the following program is on an individual basis. Listeners should not consider today's discussion as a recommendation for any investment and should carefully evaluate before investing. This is your Real Estate Today on News Talk 1110 WBT.
Hello and welcome to the show, Your Real Estate Today. Happy Saturday. We're live from the WBT studios. I'm your host, Paul Jamison, with the Jamison family of companies, Jamison Realty, Jamison Property Investments, Jamison Property Management. I am here with my bride, Carrie Jamison. She is here. She is a staging consultant with Jamison and my business partner. So, you know, she comes, she talks smart, and then she goes home.
But,
welcome. Glad to have you. And, of course, Jesse's on the board today, so he will be taking any calls that come in. So, let's explain the format, and then I'm going to get into by the numbers. So, here's what you do. If you have a question about real estate, anything having to do with buying a home, selling a home, investing in real estate, renting, leasing, should I fix this? What should I do to my home? I have an issue with anything related to real estate. You are more than welcome to call 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. So here's what happens. Jesse answers the phone. He gets your name. He gets a number in case we get you disconnected, and it has happened. There's lots of buttons on that board there that Jesse has slipped up on. We get a very brief question from you. We put you on the air, and we talk about it. We don't chastise you. This is not one of those deals. This is a show where we work together to answer questions related to real estate. That's why I'm here. And we've got lots to talk about. So if you want to just sit back and listen, you're welcome to. But, you know, if you have a question or have had a question, because I get a lot of calls on Mondays, if you have a question, please give us a call because somebody else may benefit from it as well. 704-570-1110. Okay. So here's some by the numbers, as promised. I want to give you the stats for May. It always seems like the stats are lagging, but I do have the May stats. Yay! Takes a while to get them. I don't typically get them till the middle, a little bit past the middle of the month. So here are some interesting statistics, folks, about our market and what's going on right now. New listings, and I'm going to give you two comparisons. I'm going to give you May last year to May of, and May this year, and that's not annualized May. It's May, the month of May in 2017, the month of May in 2018, and I'm going to give you year-to-date 2017, year-to-date 2018. So when I say May to May, I'm talking May 2017 compared to May 2018, and when I talk about year-to-date 2017, that's obvious, year-to-date 2018. Okay, new listings. May to May is up 3.3%. We had 6,145 listings May of 2017, 6,350 listings May of 2018. Year to date, however, we are down over 2017 by about 1.3%. Pending sales, May to May, we are up 9.7%. However, we are also up year-to-date 2017 to 2018. So stuff is selling, right? What's out there selling, okay? Closed sales were down a little bit May to May, about 4.2%. And year-to-date 2017 to 2018, we're down about 1%. Now, let's get down to the stuff that matters, okay? Let's talk about sales price. All right? Sales price is up May to May 9.5%. It's gone from 223, this is median sales price, 223,750 to 245,000. Year to date, it is also up 9.3% over year to date last year. Okay. Pretty average numbers, about the same from where the house is listed to where it actually has sold. Price-wise, is it about 97%, 97.5% on both stats. Here's one, though, that I was most – I've actually two statistics. If forget about all the rest of them. I want you to listen to these two, all right? Inventory of homes for sale. Inventory of homes for sale, May last year compared to May this year, is down 20%. 20%. What does that say? That says inventory is way down right now. Okay? Month's supply of homes for sale is also down 24%.
Who stole the cookies from the cookie jar?
I'm telling you. You know, you talk about arguing with yourself about is it a time to list your house? Months of inventory is down to 2.2 months. I can't think of a time where it's ever been that low that I can remember. That's low. Zowie. Okay. Yeah. Zoinks, Batman. Boom, pow. Zowie. Okay. All right. Let's talk about affordability. Last week, we talked about the fact that we got 109 people coming into our region daily. And, of course, millennials are the largest share of those. However, there's an index out there called the Affordability Index. The Affordability Index says that home purchasing, based on multiple factors, interest rates, cost of living, average salaries, whatever you want to call them, there's lots of statistics, all play into a formula that says, is home buying affordable? Well, it is. The affordability index is getting more and more pressure because of the stats I just gave you showing we don't have a lot of houses. B, millennials come with a $360 per person on average college debt if they're college graduates. So if it's a couple, it's $720 a month. That puts a pinch on things. All right. But also, what's now putting pressure on the affordability index is rates are going up. So now the cost of payments is going up as well. We're expecting at least 2 to 3 more rate increases before the end of the year. Doubles out, zoinks.
I was just going to say.
Okay, okay. So, the last thing, I'm going to make a statement that is not for everybody. I'm only going to make it based on some general comments from mortgage officers and general trends. In the millennial population, savings is also down, which means that power to purchase a piece of property is even more difficult unless you're doing something, i.e. VA, which is 100% financing, or FHA, which is 3.5% down with some new gifting trends that can help you get into your first home. The problem is that segment of market is so tight in inventory, you got a battle to get a deal done. And in a lot of cases, you're overpaying significantly. So I think the latest national statistic was 24% of the homes that went under contract nationally went over asking price. So interesting stat. Okay. I'm going to put a positive note on it. The positive note is that the good thing about Charlotte and our region is we are bucking the national trends. We really are. And you want to know why? It's
why?
Three words. Okay, you ready for three words?
Banks, banks, banks? No.
Jobs, jobs, jobs. And I'm not quoting Donald Trump. I'm telling you, jobs are the reason in this region why we are doing so well. And that's why they're all coming. You know, that is a great opportunity that this region of the country offers that not a lot of others do not.
Yeah, look how much construction is going on in Uptown right now. It's amazing.
Right. And to that point, Jesse, people wonder why housing prices are going up. Labor costs for building those houses. There's a very shrinking population of labor that is able to build these houses. So do you think they're building the cheaper houses? No, they're not. They're building the houses that a lot of the entry-level home buyers cannot afford. That's why we have less inventory in the lower-priced homes and more inventory in the middle sector or upper-priced homes, because you need to be able to absorb those kinds of high labor costs. You know, it's kind of like the old adage, right? When you need something done, you want to build a garage, you want to get something fixed, and you call up a guy these days and he says, "Oh, I'm not busy, I'll be right over." You're going, maybe I don't want you to come over. Because if you're not busy right now, you are not going to be busy. A lot more to talk about the show, Your Real Estate Today. We're going to talk a little bit about rental trends, some national statistics. I'm going to tell you much, much more about real estate. And we're going to talk about staging, too. So stay with us. The show, Your Real Estate Today, on News 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back. I bet you spent all morning searching out that song, didn't you? That's good, Jesse. Way to go. The show, Your Real Estate Today, if you're just tuning in with us, we're live from the WBT studios. I'm Paul Jamison, here with Carrie Jamison from the Jamison family of companies. And we're here to answer and also share real estate information, but also we're open for calls at 704-570-1110 if you have any question related to real estate at all. And if you have a real estate tax question, I feel like I need, like Jim Hefner, I need like a really long disclaimer. You know, if I'm not a CPA, please consult your CPA for more information. Please call in somebody your CPA. But I did have a good night's sleep last night. There, how's that? Okay, so I would never make it as an attorney, would I? So, okay, quickly we'll move on. Rental trends. Here are the rental trends that I see moving forward.
The floodgates of information have been opened.
Sorry.
Whoops.
Well, that was kind of appropriate.
That was a whoopsie whoopsie.
See what I told you? That's why you have to give us our phone number. There's too many buttons over there.
Way too many
all right.
buttons.
Yeah.
To emphasize your point of earlier, yes, there are a lot of buttons.
Okay, all right. There are strong luxury rentals which seem to be in demand as people are transient to move into Charlotte. Most transitions, though, and most corporate relocations take place in the first quarter of the year. However, we do see it consistently through all four quarters of the year, especially as some executives and their families finish up school in other locations and move this way. Second of all, mid-range houses and prices are typically solid right now. There are a good amount of school moves that people are making to come into this market. A lot of it is that they are single parents or estranged partners, which is trending now. And so they want to put their kids in school. Here's one, though, that we are seeing more and more of. I think I had shared with you the statistic that about 34% of the silver generation is now looking to rent. They're coming into town to be with their grandchildren. It's been a very, very strong trend. They want to be able to travel. They want to be able to do things, and they don't want to take care of anything. So as you think about investing in real estate, one of the things that I look at, I love ranch homes. Ranch homes offer a lot of flexibility, either for a family or a small family or a starting family or for those that don't want to deal with stairs. A lot of times we'll also HFC Ranches with a bonus room. It's a great opportunity for rental and a great market for folks out there that are looking for that type of rental as well. All right, quickly, another few more rifling things, and then we're going to get into some summer selling tips. Carrie's going to help me walk through that. I get a lot of questions from tenants as well as owners about the disposition of a security deposit when a renter moves out. Let me give you the bullets on that. First of all, the management company or landlord has 30 days from the point that the keys are handed in to return the security deposit, unless a notification is given for a reason like we had some things we needed to get an estimate for before we release the security deposit. Second, when you release a security deposit, if there is a deduction, you have to have an itemized list of expenses that must be provided. The landlord, in all cases, makes the final determination of the disbursement of the security deposit, not the management company. And the landlord cannot self-perform maintenance and repairs and charge for it. The only thing that you can do, if you want to fix it yourself, you can charge for the materials that you have purchased, and you have to provide receipts for that. June is typically the busiest selling month of the year. Get this, folks, 29% or more of the sales on average nationally take place in June. So if you want to sell in July and August, I believe our market extends a little bit more into July, typically to mid to the third week of July is the peak selling season, but that's related more towards and fully to school moves. So that is why June is typically the month where everybody's looking to make a move. And it's purely school related. That's where that stat comes from. I have seen now some rates move up over 5. So that's still pretty darn good if you really have been around a while. And I also see that, and Sandy's going to be with me next week, guidelines are beginning to loosen so that lending is a little bit easier. But let me just tell you, loosening doesn't mean unhinged like what we had back in 05, 06, and 07. There's still a lot of regulations there, but some of the ratios have improved, and also some of the guidelines have improved. So that's been good. All right. We've gotten through nothing but the facts and all the stats. So, yay. Okay. All right. Carrie, let's talk a little bit about summer selling. Okay?
Okay.
Summer selling, one of the first things that popped out in my mind, and as we talk about it, is more time is spent outside.
Right.
And so some of the things that we spend a lot of time, and we're going to talk a little bit later about the inside, but a lot of time needs to be spent on talking about the outside.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, the patio, you know, your patio, I think just to make that more inviting.
Yeah. Yeah, that's become kind of the new living space.
Right, right.
You know, it's extended outside, right?
Yeah. I mean, people even having those fireplaces, you know, just living space outside. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and I don't, I'll have to look up the statistics. And if you want to call and make some comments, 704-570-1110, there were some statistics about a fire pit. It says here that entry-level homes, sales premiums, the outdoor fire pit is desirable by at least 25% of the marketplace, as opposed to the top-tier homes, an outdoor fire pit is only desirable in about 12% of the buying population in that area.
Now, that's a full-furnished fire pit, right? The whole backyard patio, not just a hole in the ground.
No, I think – well, I think, you know, a hole with bricks that were left over around it is not what they're inferring to. I think they're really referring to a nice stone fire pit.
Right.
I don't think you need to have – you know, a $30,000 patio. I think you need to have a designated area, the circle fire pit, something that is that looks professional, nice, and inviting.
Right.
That's a good question. Thank you. Okay. So, okay, sorry. So we talked about the patio. What about the yard and the home?
Well,
and so?
Before we move on to that, I think just screened in porches, too. I mean, look how often we use our screen and porch, because it's got a fan above it and it keeps us cool. So just setting up the screen and porch area is great, too. Make it very inviting. I'm going to jump ahead just with furniture and things like that. Make sure they're in good condition. You know, you can even set a tray of lemonade or something out there.
Fake lemonade, yeah, or real lemonade if you're doing
real,
the showing, yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah. What about some tiki torches?
Well, no.
Not lit.
Oh, man.
No. Turn your mic off. Okay, so
the grass needs to be.
This boy ain't right. So
cut and watered.
Okay. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, keep up with.
So we were laughing earlier today. We were talking about some of the yards where we've lived, and at some point in the summer, anything green is better than nothing.
Yeah.
So we were talking about.
That's because it was so shady.
No, we were talking about crabgrass, not getting rid of the crab. Yeah, because even the brown patch,
green.
You know, at least it's green, right?
Right.
Yeah. But
opposed to dirt.
Yes.
Right.
What about power washing and things like that?
Oh, yeah, I think you should definitely power wash your home, the deck, the patio, the sidewalk, especially leading up to the house.
Yeah.
You know, that gets stains on it from water and irrigation and all that.
Yeah. All right. We've got more summer selling tips and much more to talk about to show you real estate today. Stay with us. News 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the rock and roll real estate show called Your Real Estate Today. We're glad you're with us. Thank you for tuning in. I'm Paul Jamison, your host, here with Carrie Jamison. We're here to talk about summer selling tips right now. And we've got also coming up the cheapest staging tips ever. Cheapest staging tips. Say that 10 times
easy
fast.
For you to say.
Yeah, tips ever. So we were talking before the break about some of the summer selling ideas. We talked through getting your patio all chizzled. We talked about cutting the grass, keeping things watered, power washing the home, making nicer outdoor furniture. And then Carrie asked me to do this one. Set up croquet. An activity in the backyard that makes, again, that into additional. That is the new square footage, is outdoor living space. You know, the screen porch was another one she talked about. Even though it is not, air quotes, heated living space, it is outdoor living space, and it really plays into the livability of a home. Let's just say you're outdoorsy. Or like to be outside, like if you're my age, when we were kids, we never came inside until it was time for dinner and someone had to yell for us five times. You know,
my dad blew a horn.
Yeah. We just got the shout.
Okay.
Yeah, the loud shout. And then the second shout had a threat. And then the third shout had a double threat. So... which included no TV. And, you know, hey, you know, for the three channels that we got to watch.
No hee-haw.
Yeah, no, yeah, that's right. It was hee-haw, Lawrence Welk. Yeah. And
that's it.
And then when we were teenagers, it was Dallas. Yeah, you got to watch Dallas. Got to watch J.R. Ewing. This is not a show for them. Okay. To show your real estate today, if you have a question, 704-570-1110. We welcome you. We welcome your calls. If you have anything you'd like to ask, that's why we're here. Okay.
Croquet was just a visual, you know, fun activities outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And actually, people will go out and play it.
Sure they will. And actually, I didn't mention, but, you know, we've got a little fire pit on the inside of our screen and porch, which is safe, but I mean, we do it right. But
yeah, one of those gas fire pits,
the
propane deals.
I mean, we sit out there in the fall and.
Yeah, it makes it nice.
It does make it nice.
Right. And also says set up a grill to make it look like you're about to grill.
Mm-hmm.
Put your little hardware out there, your little flipper out there, you know, your large glass of scotch out there.
the tongs that you have to click at least five times.
That's right. Click, click. Yes, right. You know, your kegerator out there, et cetera. Okay?
Inexpensive hot dogs on a grill.
Yeah. Plastic hot dogs. Yeah. Okay. So if you have a pool, maybe put some rolled up towels out there and some bathrobes if you have a jacuzzi.
Woo-hoo.
Okay. We'll kind of leave that one where it is and let you visualize that then. Okay. All right. What about flowers?
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
if your yard looks like brown patch.
Yes.
Notice that is a term someone created to make money, brown patch.
That's right.
Yes. As opposed to.
How creative.
As opposed to dead grass.
Okay. But yes, flowerful colors, you know, in pots, in the ground, especially in the front, to make that impact as people are walking up to the house. Or from the road when they're driving past. I mean, they might do a preview of it if they get the address and want to just drive by before they go for a showing. So, yeah, color is inviting, and it's a great opportunity for a good impression.
It really is. And, you know, it makes a huge difference. You know, one of the things that I'm also very much a proponent of, and then Steve will, thank you for calling, we'll come to you in a second, is dressing up the mailbox with nice, colorful flowers. What a great, nice impression. And then one of the things that I've always asked people to prepare for is if your mailbox just looks like it survived a tour in Afghanistan, you know, make it a little more inviting. Put a little coat of paint on it. Make it look like it did not just get hit last week. Or, you know, I went to one the other day that had more bird dookies on it than it had paint. Ooh. So although an Appaloosa mailbox can be nice if you're in the horse business, I'd say make it look nice and clean. All right, so we're going to transition from the bird-splattered mailbox to Steve. Hey, Steve.
Good afternoon, everybody. How you all doing?
Good.
Great, thanks.
Very good. A lot of people, when they think about sprucing up the house and cleaning it, washing it, make it look nice, the curb appeal, sometimes they forget to check the attic or the crawl space because they just don't like knowing what's in there. So I had had visitors, who knows for how long, they were back up on the gable end, hanging on the screen.
Oh.
So I noticed it whenever you see the poopy coming down the side of your house.
Yep. Hey, Steve, I was going to say, to make a comment to what you're saying, do you know what the number one reason in our market is that a house sale fails?
I would say critters.
No, the crawl space.
I was going to say that.
There's junk in the crawl space or the dampness and a lot of things. Well, I don't have, the only issue I had in my crawl space is some foundation streaks are damaged. So occasionally I get a black snake up in there, I guess, for mine.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you know, Steve, to your comment, what I like about what you're saying is the fact that I am not somebody that's going
to
go under there.
No, we're not supposed to.
And a lot of people haven't been under their crawl space in double-digit years, nor have they had anybody check.
No, they don't want to know. Sometimes the attic is the same thing, but if people just check. I tried the bright lights on the bat, just get rid of them. So I went on the internet, and there's really no bat repellent, but someone suggested mothballs. So I got the mothballs that are packaged in the plastic pack. You don't have to touch them.
Mm-hmm.
Popped a hole in it, put a sheetrock screw in the wood where they were hanging, and within a day or two, gone.
Awesome.
Hey, that's a good one.
I bought mothballs.
Okay, so I will tell you the quicker version of what happened to me and my father, who had bats in his attic. And what he did was he went out and bought a machine. And the machine, he said, you know, that he always considered bats were a rodent. So they make a machine that sends a high-pitched sound to deter rodents.
Wow.
So he put that in the attic, plugged it in. And in about a week, he went up there, and the population of bats had tripled because
oh
the
gosh.
Sound coming out of the machine was a bat sound.
Exactly. And a lot of people think because of their high-pitched sonar, and they hear that it would drive them because of their ears are probably 100 times better than ours. But I was told it doesn't work. They've got a hell of a sense of smell.
Yep.
And the mothballs got rid of them, including the little babies, because I'd go up there, figure they'd fly away, and I'd put a screen over or something like that, which is what I did a couple of years ago. But no, there were still probably a dozen of them. And their guano, their food is acidic, and it started to deteriorate the screen on the cable. So one or two came in. So I went up there with gloves, and kind of by the scruff of the neck, put them in a, one of my teeth things from Hardee's or McDonald's, took them outside, released them, and then just took some strained it up, stapled it, tried to get rid of as much food as I could. Cleaned it all up with the attic and everything, and did the ball balls, and then got rid of them.
Wow. Well, you're a brave man to mess with the bats, so good for you, Steve. Thank you for calling, my friend. That's a good story. And, you know, I think you're right on the money. I think, to your point, as a part of preparing, don't forget the under and the over. Yeah, don't forget the Mexico and the Canada. You know what I mean? Just look up and down. Make sure everything is in tip-top shape. Thank you, my friend, for calling. So if you have a comment about summer selling, 704-570-1110. All right, so what about, let's kind of work our way inside the house a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about the inside. What do you think about keeping things at a temperature-wise?
Oh, comfortable. Oh, my gosh. You know, 73 to 75, I think would just, you know, on a cool, on a hot day, a cool house feels great to walk into, you know. And so I think, you know, you got to make the house comfortable. And I'm not talking about just a house that someone's living in, but even vacant homes need to be at a comfortable temperature. People are still walking all around them. So, I mean, you can always get a Nest thermostat where you can control the temperatures when you know you have showings and regulate them with timing.
That is brilliant.
Why, thank you so much.
You know, because I think one of the challenges that people face in an empty home is, you know, they're gone.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
And you want to create a comfortable environment. I can't tell you how many times I've gone into empty homes and even homes that are occupied and it's sweltering.
Right.
I mean, so hot that you can't stay in the house.
Right?
Yeah. And you go upstairs and it's
worse.
Really hot. Think about purchasing a Nest or comparable thermostat that you control from your iPhone. If you've got a showing, make sure you got an hour's notice.
Mm-hmm.
Crank that bad boy down. Now, I'm not talking about creating a scenario where you're hanging meat. but I will tell you, when I go into a house and it's like they're hanging meat, a lot of times they're covering up a smell. So the cold air actually, and a lot of times you see it in basements, they'll crank the AC in order to cover up a mildewy or a misty smell, and sometimes to cover up a pet odor.
So is it just because you're focused so much on freezing that you
Well, you're
think
in a winter
park.
You're in a winter parka, you know, and you got your Vicks vapor rub, and you're going at it, you know. No, it tends to mask the smell,
okay.
And in some cases, though, depending on the moisture levels, it makes it smellier. All right, so we're going to come back after the break, and we're going to get to the cheapest staging tips ever. The Show Your Real Estate Today here on 1110-993 WBT. Stay with us or call us 704-570-1110 and join the show with us. Welcome back to the Show Your Real Estate. I never know how to intro against that. Welcome back to the show. Okay, 704-570-1110. If you want to join us, if you have a real estate question, come on to the show with us. We could be glad to have you. 704-570-1110. Okay. Before we jump into the cheapest staging tips ever, just know, and again, use your discretion. In the summer, when you're going showing a lot of houses and it's hot and you're going in to different houses, and it's always nice and inviting to have something there that says, hey, there's some cool drinks in the fridge, i.e. water. If I were you, I would not put out like Kool-Aid or anything else that could get spilled on the floor or the carpets upstairs, because they will. Water and very simple snacks to give people a chance to energize. They'll stay in longer. And if you got your temperature set right, you'll be in good shape. You know, and I wouldn't, you know, offer mixed drinks, beer, or anything else. I'm just talking about water. Safe, easy, no red dye number, whatever, you know, the juice boxes. No. Just water, okay? And simple snacks that don't require a stove. Okay. All right.
Wait a minute. You always said to make cookies.
Well, in the summertime, I'm more for snacks like, you know, some crackers or some light bag of chips, or like you say, a Rice Krispie treat, or you know, some type of those little bars or things like that.
Sounds good.
But cookies are good for open house.
Right.
And, you know, manageable, and sometimes I have left them out for showings if the person or people are still living in the home. But I do think this time of year, water is the big thing.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, snacks that are reasonable and easy to manage.
Sure.
And also make sure there's a garbage can there, because all the wrappers, if you don't have one there, will end up in the drawers, on the counter, on the floor.
Drawers.
Drawers.
Yeah, I've got my retainers there.
Yeah.
Drawers.
Drawers. Not those drawers. Kitchen drawers.
Well, I know that.
Okay. All right. So let's talk about... Here we go. 704-570-1110. Help me. Let's talk about our cheap
Inexpensive, that's a better word.
Yes, I like that, Beth. The most inexpensive staging tips ever, okay? So, detaching yourself from the property or from a subject.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things can you do to detach yourself from the property?
You can pack up all your family photos. So you're thinking of it more as someone else's house than your own. But not only that, the people that are coming through could possibly think of it more of their own, as their own, than you know, the people that are living in it now.
What about my Disney collection?
What about it?
It's pretty.
Pack it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've got my collection of Mickey, Minnie, and Goofy. What do I do with it? It's nice. People like it.
Well, save it, pack it up for the next house.
I think that's the point.
I think all collectibles like that, I think that's really smart to
do. My point, yeah. What about my gun collection?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, that should be locked away.
Exactly.
Packed away, locked away.
I went into a house the other day, and I was really shocked. I mean, there were, like, guns and ammo and everything everywhere, and I'm thinking, man.
Ooh, that's not cool.
That is not cool.
At all.
They have door prizes as well?
That's not cool.
No, it's not.
Okay. Turn your mic off. So, what else? Heavily themed rooms. What about, you know, kids' rooms? We talked about this, you and I, on the way here. You know, if they've got superhero rooms and princess and what's the mermaid and all that kind of stuff. What about all those decal rooms?
You probably want to make it more neutral. I mean, you just never know who's coming. Yeah, it could be someone with younger children, but then again, it might be teenagers.
What if they're teenagers?
Exactly. Yeah. So you just don't know.
Yeah.
So I would just make it more neutral. And when I say neutral, I don't mean white, beige. I mean, you know, it could be certain blues. I'm not saying certain pinks, but, you know, certain shades of green, certain shades of blue. There's all kinds of really nice neutral colors out there.
Yeah, I think there's a and we say this with an element of balance.
Right.
So do your best. You're still living there, but
exactly.
Remember, somebody else wants to.
Right.
And in order to have that happen, it needs to be less you and more them.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's a great point. Your keepsakes, we kind of talked about that a little bit already.
Your collectibles and all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about closets?
Oh, gosh. Cut them back.
What's the rule? What percent? You know, you got a packed closet. What makes it comfortable? 50%? 30%, 40%?
Like 30%.
Okay.
To just cut it back. I mean, whatever season it is, keep those things in there and eliminate. Like if it's summertime, you can pack away your winter clothing, your winter jackets and all that.
Yeah, because if you're with Jameson, the house will be sold anyway.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, did I say that out loud or is that a thought bubble that just burst? Shameless
it
plug.
Popped. I saw it.
Okay. All right. And, you know, people like storage. They want a lot of storage.
Yes,
storage, 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 storage.
Because we don't have as many basements down this way as we do up north.
That's right. And if you've got to move some stuff, where would you put it? And you just can't afford to put it into a storage facility, where would you put it?
Garage.
Garage.
Yep.
So the garage can be what we call the safe space.
Yeah, and I would try to organize it still in the garage as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so people can still open the door and walk in a little bit. You know, they need to see the space of the garage.
Yeah, they definitely do. Kind of put things strategically in there. I would say if they open the door to the garage and all the oxygen is gone because it's full, it's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, you can have boxes stacked up and everything like that.
Okay. All right. Quickly, if you would, just jump through focusing up on the front, the first impression.
Okay.
Just we've got about a minute.
Okay, just make the foyer welcoming, have it open. There needs to be a flow going to each section of the house.
Okay.
So don't have like coat racks cluttering the walkway of mm-hmm. going. Utility items, key holders, all that stuff. You know, if it's not necessarily needed, I would take it away. It's just another thing that someone's eye's going to instead of viewing the whole room. You don't want people to have their focus on your things. You want them on the space in the house.
Right. And then if you do repaint, that's probably the best place to do it, right? First
yes.
impressions, first
yes.
15 seconds, the
yeah.
key, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, I think that's really important. All right. And that goes back, too, to knowing who your buyers are and making sure that the home is arranged, staged, and thought through for who's coming through the door. Thanks for being with me today, Carrie. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was fun to have you here.
Thank you.
And for those out listening today, what a great Saturday, huh? If you got your arm out the window and you're driving down the road, we're thankful. If you're interested in buying, selling, or investing, the Jameson family of companies are there. Thank you, and we'll talk to you next week to show your real estate today. God bless you.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.